You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, January 22nd. Brother Casey Patmore preaches a message entitled, Obscure Darkness.
Well, we praise the Lord for all that He's doing here and through us. And it's exciting to see all the new faces here tonight. I'm going to get rid of this pulpit mic and go to the tie mic. Carry that around than it is than the cordless mic. But glad to be here tonight. Honored to be able to speak to you. I do not consider myself a preacher, but preacher has asked me to speak, and so I am glad to do that, and and honored to do such. Test. Hey, there we go. Okay. It's neat to have one of my old bus kids here tonight, sitting right up here. And it's good to see her. I got to see her. She's been faithful, and it's on bus number. Well, it was bus number 2, but it's a different bus number now. But I'm glad that she's here tonight. But I'm glad that you're here tonight as well. We always, you know, our family. My wife and I have 5 children, and so there's always a story to tell. Some stories that you can tell. Some stories that you cannot tell. And I'm not telling that. No, I'm not telling that story. Okay. You can tell it, but I'm not going to tell it, okay? Recently, you know, the candy sale started up. And so our family started selling not this past Friday, but the Friday previous. And so I had checked out a whole bunch of candy for our family. And this is our first year to have 3 kids in the candy sale. And so we had to step it up just a little bit more. And my wife is doing an excellent job in helping my kids to sell the candy. And I have volunteered, which is a big step for me, to watch the little ones while my wife took the kids out to candy selling, okay? And you know, that's an even bigger step because I no longer live across the street from my mom and dad. I used to live across the street from them, and if there was a problem or a diaper or something like that, I just walked across the street and took them to my mom. But since we've moved, I've had to also grow in grace. But so Friday, the first Friday, we brought all the candy home, and my wife and Sean went out candy selling while Jacqueline was at Far Above Ruby's, and I stayed home and watched the little guys for a little while. Well, I was ready for my wife to come home, and I was getting hungry, but they were doing good, so I said, y'all stay out. And so we decided by the time they got home, we were going to go out to eat with my mom and dad. And so when my wife got home, we were kind of rushing to meet my mom and dad, and they'd brought all the candy in, and we were getting everybody ready, and Colton, our 2-year-old, was very cranky. It was about 6 o'clock, and he hadn't had supper yet, and that was off his schedule. And so, if you ever have 5 kids in your house and you're trying to get them all together at the same time and ready, and make sure that this one, once they're ready, that they stay ready, they don't take their coat off, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, so we're getting everybody ready, and all of a sudden, well, Colton had gotten quiet, and so we thought, oh, good, he's being a good boy, but he wasn't being a good boy, and he came around the corner. He had chocolate all over his face, and he had a candy bar totally unwrapped, and he had it in his hand. And so we bought our first candy bar that night. Okay. Since then, we've learned where to put the candy and where not to put the candy. We helped him eat the candy bar. Amen. A mother mouse and a baby mouse were walking along when all of a sudden a cat showed up and it started attacking the mother mouse and the baby mouse. And the mother mouse, all of a sudden, instead of squeaking, the mother mouse began barking hysterically at the cat. And the cat ran away. And so the mother mouse turned to the baby mouse and said, "See, now do you see why it's important to learn a foreign language?" Now this one is my favorite. And then we'll get into the message, okay? One day, while at a job as a bank loan officer, Patty Black, the lady's name was Patty Black, and she had a frog that hopped onto her desk at the bank and said, "I would like to apply for a lily pad improvement loan." And Patty looked incredulously at the frog and said, "I'm sorry, we don't loan money to frogs." To which the frog replied, "I have collateral. I have something to show for the loan." And he handed her a small ceramic trinket. And so, not wanting to be impolite, Patty said, "Well, I don't know. I'll have to talk to the bank manager." So Patty stepped away from her desk and went to the manager's office and said, "There's a frog out there asking for a lily pad improvement loan. And this trinket is all he has for collateral." And she handed the trinket to the bank manager. The bank manager picked up the trinket, looked at it very, very carefully. And then he smiled and he looked up at Patty and he said, "Why, it's a knick-knack, Patty Black. Give the frog a loan." I couldn't stop laughing when I read that one, okay? Let me address one thing before I get into the message. There's been a lot of talk tonight and this week about the chili dog supper after church tonight for the junior age young people, and I'm fortunate enough to have a daughter in the junior department. I do love chili dogs, but I don't love them as much as most people think. I have been labeled mistakenly, okay? And years ago, Brother Bulkley here was my bus. I worked on the bus route with Brother Bulkley, and he was my bus captain. And we would always go stop for somewhere to eat, and he would always choose these crazy places like Chinese food or something that a teenage young man typically does not like to eat. And so, but we always would pass by. There was a 7-Eleven. I think it's still there on the corner of Galloway and Hillcrest. And so I was just like, "Let's go to 7-Eleven. We'll get a hot dog." And so I was mistakenly labeled the hot dog king. However, I am glad to report to you that here in the next few days, right here on the corner, they're changing this Exxon into a 7-Eleven. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Okay? Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. I am honored to be an assistant pastor here at the Parkside Baptist Church. This past Friday, I celebrated 9 years on staff here, and so time flies fast, okay? And I had the great opportunity to serve under Dr. May, and Dr. May is my friend. Would not be in the ministry today without him and his encouragement to be in the ministry. He saw something in me that I never would have seen, and I never would have admitted if I did see it, because I am not a public speaker. But I am thankful for the opportunity to serve. And now also serving with Dr. Wells. Both of these men have been a great influence on our lives. And both of them I've shared tears with. And you say, "Well, you've only had Brother Wells as your pastor for a couple years." I've already shared tears with him, shared my heart with him, and he's done so with me. He will do the same with you if you allow him that opportunity. And so I encourage you to do that. The sermon tonight is called Obscure Darkness. Obscure darkness, and we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 20, and we'll read there in just a moment. First, you may think that this sermon is only for the children, but in just a few moments, we'll change gears, and we'll make sure that we include everyone, okay? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20 says this, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." We'll read again. "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless this meeting. We thank you for the many people that have showed up, the many people that are here to hear your word and the message that you have for them. Lord, I pray that you would help me to stay on path, to only say what you would have me to say, not to hurt your people or our pastor's people. But Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be a help to them. And Lord, we thank you for our pastor. I pray that you would be with him and his wife as they're away. Please keep them safe. Lord, I pray that your power be upon them and the folks that are serving there with him this week. Lord, I pray that you meet with us tonight. Help us to learn and grow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been out in the country or maybe out in a place and it was dark? You know, I used to work downtown at a place called Comerica Bank Towers, a 60-story building. And there were times when I worked late at night where you had to go up into the building to find something, or I was a maintenance guy, and we would go up for a water leak or something like that. And so you'd go up into the building, or some of the security guys really had it worse than we did, because they would have to go up into an empty floor and walk the floor and make sure everything was fine. And they had a little scanner. They had to scan the doors and all that kind of stuff to prove that they did their job. Well, there was times when I went up in that building, and it was dark. It was quiet. It was late at night. The lights were off. And when you're up that high, you can hear the building squeak. And you always wonder, was that really the building squeak, or was that somebody around the corner? There's times here at church where perhaps I'll work late at night. And there's nothing more scary than an empty church at night. Well, maybe a funeral home. But empty church at night in the dark. Nobody's here. Or you think nobody's here, and then all of a sudden you come around the corner, and there's somebody coming down the hall. And you don't see him because it's too dark, or somebody jumps out from somebody jumps out from behind the wall or tries to scare you. And you're in obscure darkness. You can't see anything. You ever been out in a place where you can't even see your hand in front of your face? That is not a fun thing, okay? And tonight we're going to talk about obscure darkness. The Bible says, "Whosoever curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Now, the word curse in the Bible, in this verse, it talks about the word curse. A curse is to utter a wish of evil against someone, to utter a call for mischief or for injury that can cause one to fall, to vex or arrest, or meant to bring people into great calamities. That is not a good word, okay? And the Bible says, "Whosoever curseth his father or his mother." And it's talking about that. Then it says, "shall be put out in obscure darkness." Well, we know what darkness is. We could turn the lights off in this building right now, in this room. We would still have some light. For instance, the exit lights would stay on. And you still have a little bit of light from that. The clock up there would stay on. Not a lot of light, but you'd have some there. And eventually your eyes would adjust to what level of light you have in the room. When we put our kids to bed at night, they always want a night light. And I'm saying, "Oh, you don't need a night light. You need to go to sleep." And I need to see this. I said, "You don't need to see anything. You need to just close your eyes, see the back of your eyelids, okay?" But they have to have a nightlight because they're scared, all right? But anyway, the Bible says that these people, their lamp will be put out in obscure darkness. Now, let me just talk just for a minute to the children. How many of you, this is a kind of weird question, but how many of you have parents? There you go. All right. All of you have parents, all right? How many of you want to curse your parents? Nobody wants to curse their parents. Yeah, don't raise your hands on that one, please. How many of you want to curse your parents? Now, you can curse. You say, "How do I curse my parents?" Well, you don't get a voodoo doll and dress it up like your mom or your dad and do all that kind of stuff in your bedroom after they go to bed. That shouldn't be a thing you do, but you don't want to do that. You don't say, "Oh, hocus pocus, make mama trip over my toys that I left on the floor," okay? That's not a way you curse your parents. Now, we all should love our parents, okay? And I believe that we have a group of young people here tonight, the children, the teenagers, the young adults who love their parents. I believe we have a group of adults here tonight that love their parents, if they're still here. If they've already gone on to be the Lord, I know you love them as well. Now, think about it. Your parents. Your parents are the ones who did so many things for you. Okay? Number one, your mom went through 9 months of living for you and planning for you before you were born. Your parents prepared a little room for you to make you comfortable before you were even born. They spent their hard-earned money on clothes, toys, and furniture for you before you were even born. Before you were even on this planet, they already loved you, and they had already picked out a name for you. They loved you before you even learned to love them back. They took time off from their job and maybe even quit their job for you when you were born. They paid the hospital bill for you to be born. Before you even knew anything. They changed your messy ducky diaper, unless your mom was across the street and they took you over there. They would come in your room while you're asleep in your baby bed just to make sure that you were okay and that you were still breathing. I don't know how many times when we had a new baby, you would always wonder, "Are they okay?" You know, they cry and they cry and they cry and then they stop. Well, surely they didn't go to sleep. There must be a problem. And so you go in there and you see, well, are they breathing? You watch them very closely. And your parents did that for you because they loved you. You know, there's a statistic. In the baby's first year alone, it is average that the common parent Now, I'm not sure I'm a common parent, but it says it is average that the common parent spends anywhere from $9,000 to $11,000 alone for diapers, formula, clothing, furniture, and baby gear. Now, I praise the Lord for a church that loves our family, because when our first one was born, when Jacqueline was born, we went a whole year, and we give God the glory for it. We went a whole year without having to buy diapers, because people loved us and supplied for us. And so we thank the Lord for our church family. But not everybody has a church family, and so they spend quite a bit, okay? Your parents also introduced you to real food, like hot dogs and chili dogs. Number 17, they taught you how to use a fork and spoon and not to eat with your hands. They taught you how to brush your teeth, I hope. They taught you how to take a bath on your own. They taught you how to color and stay in the lines. They taught you how to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, no, sir, and no, ma'am. They informed you when you had bad manners and helped you learn to be proper. They taught you how to pick up after yourself and clean your room and clean your room and clean your room. They taught you how to be happy about candy sales and how to be successful at it. They disciplined you time after time after time for doing the same thing over and over and over again, yet they still loved you. They repaired your torn clothes. Perhaps they still wake you up every morning. They taught you how to get along with your brothers and sisters. They made sure you had a lunch for school every day and came back up to the school when they realized you had forgotten it. They spent countless of hours helping you on your homework when they could have been resting and relaxing. They saved up their money and they took you on family vacations. They gave you birthday parties at their own expense. They bought you countless presents, sometimes for Christmas or birthday, even when they needed the money for something else. And many times sacrificed the nicest things of life so that they can afford to put you in a Christian school. Our parents poured their lives into us so that we can be successful in life. Here's another statistic. The annual child-rearing expenses for the average middle-income two-parent family range from $11,650 to $13,530. Statistics prove that the cost of a child born in 2009, now this is 3 years ago, prices have gone up since then. But the average the cost of a child born in 2009 to raise to the age of 18 will be about $222,360. That's nearly $250,000. To raise one child from the age of birth to the age of 18. That was 3 years ago. We all know how things have increased since then. Now, you children that are here tonight who are paying attention and listening, you think about how many kids your parents have and see how much they've really invested into you. After all they've done for us, how can we not love them? Now, why in the world would a child not, why would a child want to curse or become a curse to their parents? But sometimes the children still do that. Now, up until this point, the adults have enjoyed this message. And, however, let's broaden the verse just a tad, okay? Back in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20 again, it says, "Whosoever curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Now, I contend with you tonight that we can take that verse and we can expand it just a tad, and we can change it to our authority. Whosoever curseth his authority, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Now, our father and mother is a God-given authority. God has placed a father and mother in our lives, and they're given by God. There are other God-given authorities in our life as well. There's people that we like having as our authority. For instance, our pastor. We love our pastor. We're glad that he is our authority. There's others that sometimes we like having our authority, and sometimes we don't. For instance, the policeman. When we have the policeman protecting us, we are glad he's our authority. When the policeman pulls us over for a small roadside chat, we're not always happy about that. But needless to say, that is God-given authority. God has placed the government there to be a help to us. And so God has placed other people in our lives as authority. God's placed your boss in your life as your authority. He's placed your ministry leaders as your authority. He's placed city officials such as the police or the mayor or the city council. He's placed governors in our lives as an authority. He's placed our president in our life as our authority. Now, just as we ought not to curse our parents, also we should not curse our other authorities. Now, let's think just a little bit about what just a few of these folks do for us. The police. The police, they enforce the law for everyone's safety. They attempt to prevent crime. They look out for the safety of the community. They patrol the streets at night while we're at home asleep, enjoying our sleep. they're out there protecting us and helping us. They're ready at any given hour of the day for your emergency. They put away the criminals, and we owe them a great debt. Think about what your pastor does for you. He spends less time with his family for us so that other families, so our families may be helped. He spends countless of hours preparing God-given messages specially designed for our specific needs. I can tell you in the last, I'm not going to tell you because then you'll say, oh, that was what Brother Palmore had problems with. In the last several weeks, preacher has preached, I've gone to preacher and said, preacher, I need help. I need you to help. I need some counsel on how to handle this or that. And he has helped me in the office, but he's also helped me behind the pulpit. I don't know if he planned that message specifically for me. But I know that when he planned that message for the church service, I think that he had me in mind as well. Because he wanted to be a help to me and he loves me. He prays for us. He cares for us. He runs alongside of us when we're down. He rejoices with us during victories. He buries our loved ones that have passed away. He marries our young. He counsels us. And not only this, does he counsel us when we make an appointment, but our pastor is very gracious and he'll stop and take time out of his busy day, or he's trying to go somewhere, he's got a class or place or a meeting to be at, and he'll stop and give you as much time as he can, even if it's not scheduled. If it's after hours, there's many times where he'll make his schedule where he comes up here to meet with you, or he'll come by your house, or he'll come by the hospital, or whatever the case may be. He organizes activities for our family. He steps on our toes when we need it. Amen? And I can tell you that I need it quite often. All right? He checks on us at the hospital. He encourages us. He rebukes us. He is patient with us. Praise the Lord for that. And he loves us. Okay? There are many other authorities that we could go through the list tonight and talk about all that they do for us, but for lack of time, we'll just move on. So how do we become how do we avoid being a curse to our parents? Or how do we avoid becoming a curse to our authorities? Well, there's a path. There is a path that one goes down where they eventually become a curse and they end up in obscure darkness. I'm going to show you that path tonight. Okay? Let's see. For this to happen, we have to understand that there is a path. If you're going to end up in obscure darkness, it's not just all of a sudden, boop, the lights are out, and that's not typically what happens in your life, okay? There's a path that you go through. And so one does not end up in obscure darkness in a small matter of time. It typically goes down a path. And so the path I'm going to tell you tonight will lead you into obscure darkness. I implore to you, stay away from this path. If we're going through this path tonight and you say, oop, that's me. Oop, I've done that. Okay, I'm right there. Then there's a way to get back, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Okay? Number one, there's a first step. The first step to obscure darkness, the first step to obscure darkness is that you begin to despise your authorities. The very first step going down the path of being a curse to your authorities is that you begin to despise them. You can turn there if you'd like, but in Proverbs chapter 15, just a couple of chapters previous to where we were earlier, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5, the Bible says, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Verse number 20 in the same chapter, the Bible says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." And so here we have a couple of verses that talk about despising, and we see fellowship despising their authority in these verses. Okay, hey, what does despise mean? Well, despise, it has several different meanings. One meaning of despise, it means to disrespect. To disrespect. Another definition of despise is to disesteem. Another is to scorn. Another is to have a low opinion of. Okay? So thinking about this step, the first step that leads you into obscure darkness, which is not where we want to be with our life, and I'll explain that in just a minute, but the first step that leads to this is you begin to despise your authorities. Do you despise your pastor? Do you despise your parents? Do you despise your boss? Do you despise the God-given authorities in your life? If that's you, then we have a problem. How do you despise them? Well, you start off, and one thing that you do maybe perhaps is, and I've been here before, okay, so I'm not saying I'm perfect in this area, but things that I think that would help us is the first step is despising. What you begin to do is you begin to disrespect them. You just disrespect them. Okay, the kids start saying, stop saying yes sir and no sir, or yes ma'am and no ma'am. Or you start being rude to the authority. Or you start treating them like a peer. Hey, good old buddy, old pal, and that's your dad. Or that's your preacher. That's your boss. That's your God-given authority. And not only that, and the discipline, you don't give them first choice. Okay, we have 5 kids in our family, okay? And budget is limited when it comes to food. I have a son that is 8 years old. His name is Sean. He loves to eat. He loves to eat, okay? And at the end of every time, we all fill our plates once, okay? And he's usually the first one done. But anyway, and there will be one piece of chicken left out there. Oh, he's gotten better. He now asks before he takes it, okay? Daddy, you want the chicken? No, sir. That's one. Mama, you want the chicken? No. That's two. And he goes all the way around. And that's so funny sometimes when it gets down to it. Colton. Colton is two. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He said, Okay. Oh, man. But in a sense, when you begin not giving your authority the first choice and allowing them to have first choice, then you become disrespectful to them. Perhaps you start treating them unworthy. You consider yourself worthy, more worthy than they are. You stop being as concerned about their opinion. Thinking to yourself, when you're being corrected by them, when are they going to be done? When is a preacher going to get off my toes? Doesn't he know that we have a chili dog supper after church tonight? And you begin not including them on life's decisions. You begin thinking, I wish they would just leave me alone. You become to the point where you begin to despise them. That's the first step that leads to cursing your authority. The first step that leads to obscure darkness. So ask yourself, have you made that step? Do I despise my authority? Do I have a tendency to disrespect them? Do I tend not to think of them and prefer them above myself? Do I have an air about me that they feel I do not want their opinion? If you have answered yes to any of the above questions, then you have already begun to travel the path that we don't want. So, first step, despise. Second step is disobedience. So after you begin to despise, then you start being disobedient. I want you to consider the story of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, the first step, they disesteemed what God said. They came and God said, don't eat the fruit in the garden. Satan came and said, yea, hath God said? They disesteemed what God said. They began to despise the fact that they couldn't have that piece of fruit. Well, after all, we're the only ones here. That's our fruit. And then step two, they disobeyed the commandment of God. I also consider the story of Samson. You remember Samson, the strong man in the Bible, in the Old Testament? Step number one, the despise, he was not concerned about his parents' opinion. He wanted to be with Delilah. And he didn't care what anybody thought about it. He said, that's the one I want to be with. And mom and daddy said, why do you always got to go to the Philistines? And he said, doesn't matter, get her for me. And he began to despise what his parents said, and then he disobeyed his parents. If preacher is leading us to do something that is not against Scripture, then what gives us the right to criticize it? Now, preacher is our man of God. Dr. Mike Wells is our man of God. And one of the things that he's doing around here right now is he's sprucing up the property. I think it looks pretty nice, to be quite honest with you. And for us to say, what's he doing that for? Our buildings were just fine like they were. Couldn't we spend that money on something else? That is going down the wrong path. So we have despise, we have disobedience. Now step number three, we have despise, disobedience. The next step that happens is destruction. Again, consider the stories about Adam and Eve. Step number one, Adam and Eve, they said they disesteemed what God said. They began to think, oh, that fruit, I can eat that fruit. Number two, they disobeyed the commandment of God. Number three, they were destroyed. They were cursed. Their spirit was destroyed. The part of them that had communication with God, the spirit of us, was destroyed. Consider Samson again. Step number one, he wasn't concerned about his parents' opinion. Step number two, he eventually disobeyed the will of his parents and of God and married Delilah. Step number three, he became a curse to his parents. Have you ever noticed that when you read the book of Judges, after that takes place, the Bible doesn't talk about Samson's parents anymore? I don't know what happened to his parents. But I believe he was an embarrassment to his parents. So we have despise, we have disobedience, and we have destroy and destruction. After that is step number four. Let me read the verse to you again. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20, the Bible says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Step number four would be darkness. I have a Coleman's lantern. There we go. I want to illustrate something to you for just a moment. I hope we have no courting couples in the auditorium right now. Because if you are and you do something wrong, you're going down the wrong path and you're going to end up in darkness. But Brother Kenny, if you can do the thing with the lights for me for just a moment. Don't get scared. You haven't reached the path, okay? Yeah, we have the night light for just a moment. Okay. It's like, there you go, almost there. Great. Okay, thank you, Brother Kenny. Now, let me illustrate this path to you, okay? The path of that leads to obscure darkness. With each step that you take on these four steps, the light in your life gets darker and darker. And eventually, your lamp is put out while you're in obscure darkness. Now, remember, we have a couple of lights on in here. If these lights should go out, then we have a couple of exit lights and things like that. So we won't ever be in obscure darkness in here. But just for the sake of illustration, this is what we'll do. So the first step as we have down this path is to the people begin to despise their authority. Okay? They begin to despise their authority. Go ahead, Brother Kenny. They begin to despise their authority, and it gets darker. Now, we all want light. We need guidance. We need help in our life. So we have the first step, and that is we begin to despise. The next step, after you go through that, and you've done that a few times, and you build up a little bit of courage, finally you say, okay, I'm going to disobey. I'm going to go disobey, and I don't care what they say, I'm going to go ahead and do it. But you know what? Every time it gets darker, your eyes eventually will adjust to the light. And you begin to think, oh, that's okay. I can see. I can see just fine. I can still see Brother Bulkley Sr. at the back table, back there at the back.
That's good.
It's all right. I can still see down the road. I know exactly where I'm supposed to go. And I know that I'm not, you know, living right anymore. And people think that I've just kind of jumped off the face of the church membership. But, you know, it's going to be all right. And so you have despise, then you have disobedience, and then you have destruction. Destruction. Something has been destroyed. With each step, it gets darker and darker. When you get in utter obscure darkness, you lose all sense of direction. When you lose all sense of direction for your life, you are of little or no benefit to God. You cannot lead anybody that you were supposed to lead. You can't lead your children. You can't lead the people in your Sunday school class. You can't lead the people in your youth department. You cannot lead the young people who depend upon you on your bus route, because you are in obscure darkness. And you know what? Something about this, some of these people that follow us, they're not in obscure darkness. And they see you, and they see you start stumbling. And then you're in obscure darkness. I cannot make it down these steps. Well, there's a little bit of light over there, but I can't make it down these steps right now without having a little bit of issues. Go ahead, Brother Kenny. Thank you. And we'll turn the lights back on because I want to walk across the platform and not be tripped by Brother Bulkley. Like I said, Brother Bulkley said we've been together a long time, so I got to be careful in the dark with Brother Bulkley. But you can't leave because you cannot even see where you're going.
That's good. Come on.
Now, let me ask you, where are you at? I hope that you're over here and you haven't even taken the first step. I hope that you love your authorities. I hope and pray that you want to please your authorities. And you see them and you respect them the right way, in a godly way. But if you've made that first step and you've begun to think, you know, they're not all that. Why'd they make that decision? I can't believe he talked to me that way. Then you've made the first step, headed toward the path of destruction, headed toward the obscure darkness. And you kind of get comfortable in this. And the first time you think, I can't believe they said that. And you think, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I hope nobody heard me. But then you get more and more bold. And finally you say, you know what? I've had enough. I can't believe that authority is doing that. I'm stepping out. I'm going to disobey. Mom and Daddy, I don't care what you've told me. I don't care what you've trained me to do. I don't care what you've taught me. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to disobey. Godly authority, who God has placed in my life, I hear what you're saying. Yep, it's good for everybody else. But I want to be okay. Don't worry about me. Everything's just fine. And you've made that second step. And you've stepped away from the light. But then you get comfortable in that. You get so comfortable in it that you begin, You despise. You disobey. And then eventually something's destroyed. Maybe the relationship with your mom and dad. Maybe the relationship with your family. Maybe the relationship with your pastor. Maybe something that's not even a relationship. Your finances. Something's destroyed. And you don't have enough heart or maybe sense to go back. And you just stay there. And then you're going to end up in obscure darkness. You've become a curse. We don't want to be here. The people that you were able to help, you no longer are able to help. Your life has become not for others or not for God, but all for me. You know what's interesting in this whole scenario? You know, we talked about Adam and Eve and Samson. Adam and Eve disesteemed what God had said, and they disobeyed the commandment of God. They were cursed. Their spirit was destroyed. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden and faced the darkness of hell. But God had a plan of action still for their lives. And He had a redeeming plan. And they were still loved by their Heavenly Father, but they had consequences. Samson was not concerned about his parents' opinion. He eventually disobeyed his parents and married Delilah. He became a curse to his parents. He had his eyes put out and faced a world of darkness. But after repenting, God still used him. The Bible says in Judges chapter 16, verse 28, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And you remember the story how they had tied him or he was being made fun of, and they were having a celebration about, we took out Samson, and he asked somebody, probably a dumb teenage guy, and said, hey, can you take me over? Where's the pole? Where's the poles around here? Where's the beams? Where's the columns? And he said, oh, it's over there. And so he said, can you take me over there? I need to lean up against one. And so they took him over there, and he found out where this was at, and he found out where this was at. And then he asked God for power, and he pushed them away. Those happened to be the two main supporting beams. The place caved in, killed him, but killed all the Philistines as well. Now look, if you want to, you can turn to Judges chapter 16, verse 30. The Bible said, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. So it's interesting that when all this was said and done, his family was still there for him. His family didn't disown him. They still came after him. He was gone. There was nothing that they could do to help this guy. He was dead. They still were there for him. God can still use you. No matter where you're at on this path, if you're all the way down here, God can take you back and use you again. There may be some consequences. There may be some things that you can't do. There may be some things that the Lord cannot use you for, but he still has a plan and a purpose for your life. But you know what? Why have the consequences? Why do we have to go all the way? We don't have to go through step one, step two, step three, step four until God can use us again. We can just go to step one, repent, God use you again. There's no need for the consequences. Why can't we determine that by the grace of God, we'll stop it early? Let's examine our hearts tonight. Examine your heart. Where are you on the path? I hope and pray that you've not made it onto this path. But it, you know, in all reality, all of us veer at time or two. We've got to check ourselves. Where are we on the path? You can turn around at any point. At any of these stages, you can turn around. The quicker you turn around, the more God can use you for. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads. Let me ask you this. This message was not just for the teenagers. This message was not just for the children. But this message was also for us adults. I know that each of us in this room are sinners. Me included. And I know that there's times when I've had to go back and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not treating my authority right. Go back to that authority, make it right. You don't just go back to God and make it right. You go to that authority as well. That's scripture. But if God has touched your heart tonight in some shape, form, or fashion, we'll have an invitation. And if he's talked to you tonight, or if he has not, if you say, Brother Palmore, I've not made it down that path, then you can still come to this altar and ask God to help you not get on the path. This altar is open for each of us.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.